Rich Mancuso, member of the 21st Century Media Alliance from Keep It In The Ring. Rich, good to have you back on the show, buddy. How you doing?
Hey, Rick. Always good to talk to you. How you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm doing fine, my man. How are you doing?
Hey, what can I tell you? Sports. This is a busy time. It's a busy time of year with the wrestling in between, too.
You are always waist deep in it. We'll talk about wrestling, but I tell you what, on Keep It In The Ring, you do cover all different sports here, but I know that you pay particular emphasis in the areas of boxing and baseball. You were down there for the Pac-Man's big fight. Maybe not a big surprise as far as the outcome, but talk about what you saw and talk about what it possibly sets up again with Money May as the speculation continues.
Well, you know, everyone is wondering when Pacquiao Mayweather will get in the ring. That's the question after the fight. And again, it's going to be up to Mayweather now. Pacquiao's agreed to it. Bob Arum, the promoter, has agreed to it. That Olympic drug testing system that stopped it from the first time, well, the Pacquiao camp has agreed to it. Now everybody's thinking that Mayweather doesn't want to do it. But, you know, they're lying this out. And this is a fight that boxing needs, as I've told you before, and that the fans want to see. And it'll happen, I would think, in the spring. And as far as Pacquiao, what can you say? He fought a guy that was much heavier than him, much taller, and yet, you know, he fought his fight fast and was able to get the punch in and just practically mutilated Margarito's face. And Margarito came out of the hospital today to get an eye socket redone. That's how bad his face was.
Ugh, that's pretty gnarly to have.
Yeah, it was ugly. It was ugly. I had him winning only one round of the fight, the second. Most people at ringside had it a shutout. But I gave Margarito benefit of the doubt, gave him the second round, because I felt there that he was able to connect a little bit more. But, you know, Margarito, too, is a warrior. Here's a guy that had to redeem himself, just like I wrote it. He had to show that he's back in the ring and that he could face a world-class fighter like Pacquiao. He hung in there, did his job, and he did get redemption on that end. And it was a mostly Margarito crowd down there in Texas. It wasn't much of a Pacquiao crowd, though Pacquiao did have his contingent from the Philippines rooting for him. And I'm going to tell you again, Rick, Pacquiao, to me, is one of the all-time fighters, best all-time fighters I have seen in my time. And I've been around boxing for 30 years. And here we're talking about Marvin Hagler, Sugar Ray Leonard, guys like that, and Alexis Arguello, who I always thought was the best in my time. I think Pacquiao might even surpass that.
It's funny, too, because our producer tonight, Paul Belfi, he just, you know, he's a big Arguello fan as well. And, you know, you know more about this than me, Rich, but based on everything I've seen, you know, Pac-Man belongs on that level there. Before I steer to some other subjects, I do want to bring this up, and not to be a killjoy about boxing, but a point that I made a couple weeks ago when one of your cohorts from the industry, Teddy Atlas, was on with us, and we were talking about UFC versus boxing, and I said, you know, one of the fatal things I think for boxing and trying to compete for that entertainment dollar is the fact that politics intrude to a far greater degree. I said, and Teddy Atlas, for as much as he, you know, holds UFC in lower regard than boxing, he couldn't argue with me on this one. And I tell you what, Rich, I said to him, I mean, if Pac-Man and Mayweather were in UFC, this would have happened a year and a half ago.
Oh, sure it would have. You know, they don't have this type of stuff going on in that sport. I'm not an advocate of it nor a fan of it because I feel it's killing our sport of boxing. But the younger people, many who I work with during the day down here in New York, the younger people love that. When you talk contact sports with them, they talk about MMA and UFC. They will talk about Pacquiao, and they will talk still about Miguel Cotto, and they will bring up Mayweather. But it's not a long conversation with young people. They talk MMA, UFC. It's incredible how that sport has caught on like it has, and how boxing just continually declines. It's sad.
Yeah, you know, politics has got to have a lot to do with that. I mean, there's some outliers. I mean, Fedor hasn't fought the big boys in the heavyweight division, and you know, it took Krokop a long time to get in there. You can always point to some outliers, but by and large, they make the fights happen that are supposed to happen. You know, and that's boxing is just too splintered. And
the only guy that draws an interest with me in the MMA is Brock Lesnar, and you know why?
Well,
because
yeah.
He was WWF performer. And it's very intriguing that they talk about the Lesnar Undertaker thing at WrestleMania, which won't happen anyway, but
right.
That came up in Lesnar's win a few weeks ago.
Well, let's segue to that because, again, the precursor show, really, back in the day before, you had wrestling talk shows on the Internet on terrestrial radio, WFAN, you and Jody Mack doing the wrestling
show. Yeah, I was
Jody
tonight. I missed him. How is he?
Oh, yeah, doing great. We're going to get you guys hooked up on the same segment here. We're in our first night in the new digs here, and it's one phone line at a time right now, as it turns out, as we found out. But looking forward to getting you guys back on here, but I asked him about this. I want to get your thoughts. Did you see Old School Raw Monday night, and if so, what were your thoughts?
I thought it was very good, and it brought back memories to me. I worked with a lot of those guys, and I thought that was a great show Monday night Raw, the 3 hours and what they did. I mean, it's sad to see some of them get so old, because I remember them when they were in their prime. And that's a ratings boost. They do that in a show like that, which they'll do once in a while, will propel their ratings because it gets the old school fan back to watch and hopefully buy their product again. Because as much as WWE says now that their ratings are so great, they're not doing as well as they used to. But I thought it was pretty good. I liked the way they handled that whole show Monday night, and it was funny at times and very interesting with some, how they mix some of them in with, especially the ending. I liked what they did at the ending at Piper's Pit. And, you know, Piper don't look good. He's obviously still kind of suffering from his cancer battle. And you could tell he's weakened. You could see that.
Yeah, I think no question about that, he's not at 100%. But it really was a thing. I was struck in looking at that. What a lesson it would be if anybody at TNA was capable of learning lessons about more is less when you've got legends in there, and as far as giving the rub and everything like that. That's how you get the younger guys over. That's how you do it. You have the old guys endorse them in that way instead of being in these overbearing storylines and being used all the time as they do down in Orlando.
Yeah, and I could tell you, Rick, I wasn't there Monday night, but I can guarantee you what went on in the back. Because when I was in that business at one time every day, I remember seeing that. Whatever legends were there when those guys were young, there's always a respect granted. And I could imagine, I wouldn't even have to imagine, know what went on in that back, the talk and the camaraderie, because that's the type of business it is. Those guys made the WWF at the time what it was today. But even now it's gone, as again we've talked about in the past, more entertaining now. But those guys like the Iron Sheik and Nikolai Volkov and Guerrero that were there all on the stage, and Jimmy Snuka, those guys made it. They made the business. They put it back where Vince McMahon wanted it and got it. And they got the respect, no doubt about it, backstage Monday night.
Yeah, I think that's definitely the case. Something that I found out on the air a couple weeks ago was really kind of shocking. I had no idea about this. We had a reunion a couple weeks ago on the air, the original Midnight Express, Condrey and Eaton. Dennis Condrey, he had done some work down in Florida. I knew that earlier this year. It turns out he was actually very much involved with the Nexus, working with them behind the scenes, kind of getting these heel characters down, teaching them some of the old school mannerisms and stuff.
Yeah, I didn't know that. You scooped me.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I had no idea till he mentioned it to me, Rich, but I mean, that's the kind of thing where that gives you a lot of faith in their process.
Yeah.
If they know enough to bring in a guy like a Dennis Condrey because of what he can do and the subtle ways to help them, then they're really on a stick right now.
Oh, yeah. Except I'm getting tired of this Nexus. It's working, but I'm getting tired of the angle, and I wish they'd come to a culmination with it, and it won't at Survivor Series Sunday. that thing is still going to continue. It'll probably go on to WrestleMania, because when you look at it, this is a great angle that goes into WrestleMania for them. So they'll continue to do that. But the Cena situation, who knows? He's going along with it because he's still got the heel and the baby face angle at the same time. And, you know, from what I'm hearing, and I haven't been in the arenas, but from hearing from people that are, he gets a mixed reaction. And that's pretty good, because John Cena always got the mixed reaction when you think of it.
Yeah, that's been a constant as he's gone through it over the course of the last couple of years. Here's a clip and save moment, I guess, for the show. Let me get a sense from you. Where do you think it's going Sunday? This could go in so many different directions. The dark horse, as we mentioned earlier in the show, is Cena with the heel turn and just rolling the dice on that change in direction. If somebody put a gun to your head, Rich Mancuso, where do you say it's going?
I don't see Cena going heel, and I'm going to tell you why. He doesn't like to play that role. As much as they may want to do that, and there's been talk and discussion about it in the storyline, but I do see it, this angle continuing. He's still going to be a part of the Nexus, and somehow or another there'll be a stipulation in there or whatever, disqualification, whatever it be, but... Cena's too popular to be a full-fledged heel. Too much merchandise is sold, too much this, too much that. He's too popular to turn as a full-fledged heel, so I don't see that happening. But I do see that he'll continue to be a part of the Nexus. You know, I mean, I could be wrong, because I know they change their storylines and angles sometimes at the last minute. I've been witness to that many times, Rick.
Yeah, well, you know, God forbid that their storylines aren't driven by who sells the most stupid tchotchkes, you know, but that's their business model the last couple of years. That's just how they roll, I suppose. I'd like to get your sense also here, Rich, because you cover baseball so much, you love baseball so much. The Giants winning the World Series this year, as we talked about with Jody Mac, is that not completely fitting? You know, the year of the pitcher, we kept hearing it all year long, and by so many different metrics it was, and the team that is the most demonstrably four deep, if not five deep, at starting pitcher goes out there and wins it all.
Oh, it's apropos to what happened this entire season. And I saw some great pitching all year, from Jimenez of the Rockies to Halliday, the Phillies, even Sabathia here again, New York with the Yankees. I mean, it was apropos that the Giants would win it, the dark horse, as you said. And, you know, they caught everyone by surprise, but they came together in September. And when you look at it, they have three good starters, now maybe four, that can be a part of a dynasty in the making for the next 3-4 years in baseball. I don't remember a pitching staff being so dominant in the postseason as they were. And you know, Lincecum, to me, always had it to be where he's at. And I mean, what did you think of Lincecum? I mean, could anybody hit him? Well, I don't think one of the best hitters of all time would ever be able to hit a Lincecum fastball.
He looked like he did in 08 and 09. I mean, he really, he looked like his old self there. Old self, you know, as young of a guy as he is. But, yeah, that's what he looked like. By the same token, you mentioned dynasty. I posited this to Jody Mac also. I think if they don't win at least two more pennants or one more World Series in the next couple of years, as hard as it is to believe, 56 years between world titles, but I think they go down as underachievers if they don't, Rich. You got that core of the four starting pitchers. You got Buster Posey. You got Brian Wilson. You got six guys to build around. Boatload of bad money coming off the books in the form of Renteria and Rowan. They got to go out there and do it again at some point in the next couple of years, or I'm going to say they underachieved.
Yeah, and it's a matter of what ownership wants to spend, and, you know, if they want to keep up with everything. And you know how it is, Rick, in baseball today, that free agency just ruins the chance of a dynasty. With the exception of the Yankees, who've been able to keep the core four and guys over the years. But I think this Giants organization, seeing what they saw, they're going to do everything they can to keep this team intact. It might be difficult. But when you look at it, they have a nucleus of youngsters on that team, too, including Buster Posey behind the plate. That's a catcher, Posey, that's going to have a great long career. That kid is dynamite. I've seen him play up front in person. I've seen this guy handle pitch that pitching staff. Rick, he handled four young pitchers in the postseason, and he was a rookie himself. That alone makes a statement.
Well, you know what? I mean, we're entering a golden age right here at this point. When, you know, you look at him, you look at Carlos Santana, you've got the residual in the careers here of Maurer and McCann and a couple of guys. Wieters, if he can get it going, in Baltimore. This is going to go down as one of the greatest eras at the catcher position. I think 2010, probably in the history of baseball.
Yeah. You look at the cat, and you know how many of those guys are Latino, because I'm very much involved with Latino sports here in New York, latinosports.com. And a lot of these catchers are of Latino descent. It seems like the catching position has become a position for the Latino. And you got a lot of that to Pudge Rodriguez. Mm-hmm. You know, they follow in his footsteps. But you got Molina still behind the plate. And, you know, Posada may be on his last days here in New York as a catcher and ready to move into the DH role. And all indications are that that might be happening in the Bronx with the Yankees. But it is an era of the catcher, and it has become the pitcher's game. There's no doubt about it. I was talking to Wayne Hagen, a good friend here in New York, radio voice of the New York Mets.
Oh, we had him on a few weeks ago. Yeah. Great guy.
And Wayne seems to say the same thing me and you were talking about right now. It's the catcher. It's also, you know, the pitching game. And it could only continue that way because there seems to be a big emphasis on pitching in baseball, in particular the last few years. And that we saw culminate this year, and it can only continue. The teams are enriched with pitching in their farm systems. They go out there and they go out and draft a pitcher. They look for guys who got good command, good control, and can throw at least 90. I mean, here in New York, where I am, and we have kids on the high school level now that are throwing at 90. And I got a young man I've been working with who went to the Dominican Republic 2 years ago in the Kansas City Royals camp over there in the Dominican Republic, those camps that Major League Baseball is very much involved with. And this young man is pitching college ball now upstate in New York and went to Virginia Tech last weekend, and the head coach of Virginia Tech was impressed at his velocity and his control. And there's a kid that's 20 years old who throws at least 95. So if a young man has that and the scouts are looking and the coaches are looking, he's got a shot. The game has become pitching.
Yeah, it's really taken that turn in the last couple of years, and that's the way it looks like it's going to keep going. Whether it be baseball, boxing, wrestling, anything else, we always love talking it over with you, Rich. Of course, your website, keepitinthering.net, that's where people can find out information on you as well as you know, the work that you've got going on there. But we always give our guests a chance to plug, so please take it away.
I appreciate it, Rick.
It's
keepitinthering.net. That's the website. It's and, you know, you can also, when you're on there, log on to newyorksportsday.com. Where I also do stuff, and latinosports.com, and I'm all over the place, Rick. You know, I'm unstoppable. It's sports is my thing.
Excellent.
As well as pro wrestling. You know, it's I'll always be in the wrestling business one way or another. And again, as we started before, that Monday Night Raw show just brought back tremendous memories for me, and I was just thinking about what those legends did and their contributions to the business. And, you know, Vince McMahon's a genius when he comes to that. Yeah. And I'm sorry I missed the weekend in Cleveland with the Jets. I wanted to make that trip, but Pacquiao and Margarito interfered.
Yeah. Well, you know, you saw a big boxing epic down there, big fight atmosphere. I was at an instant classic NFL game on Sunday with the Browns and the
Jets.
It really was.
We've got some good football in this town. And I was a Cleveland Browns fan at one time, but I gave up on them and shifted to the Arizona Cardinals, who were struggling this year.
Yeah.
But at one time, I was always in that dog pound in Cleveland. I would go faithfully two times a year in the old Brown Stadium.
Well, I look forward to hopefully catching some games with you there again in the future, yeah. My man. The 21st Century Media Alliance is kicking it here, and it's good to have you on with us here. I look forward to doing it again sometime real soon, buddy. You take care.
Yeah, let's do it, Rick. Keep it in the ring, and thanks again. It's always great.
All right, keepitintheRing.net. Rich Mancuso, our good buddy. We want to thank him for being on